I want to ask the youth a question. Do you not sometimes when your parents say, when I grew up, you hate those stories. You know what I'm talking about. You hate those stories. Hate those stories because they're going to tell you, when I grew up, you know, I had to walk 5 miles to school and it was uphill both ways or whatever they would say. So I'm going to tell you a when I grew up story, and some of you are not going to relate with it, and some of you will relate with it. And one of those, just letting you know that when I grew up, that if we didn't watch something on TV when it was on TV, we missed it. You know, and remember that? We had to, you know, it would, you didn't get home to watch the monkeys. I mean, you were really in trouble, you know what I'm saying, in terms of when you went back to school the next day and everybody wanted to talk about the monkeys, you know. All right, and so the deal is that you had an opportunity of missing things, and today you don't have that anymore. I mean, you got your DVRs, and it's because you got your DVRs, you can just, you know, you can record it and you can watch it later, or you can stream it. You don't even have to worry about those things. So this is what we really are in today. But there was a time when if you missed something, you missed something. Now, there are a lot of things that we know that if we miss it, it won't make a big deal. It won't make a lot of difference. Let me give you a couple of things. If you miss a meal, it is not going to make a big deal of a difference. You know what I'm saying? You might get hungry a little bit, but it's not going to make a whole lot of difference. It's not going to give you malnutrition. It's not going to kill you. It's not going to hurt you in any way. That's really absolutely the truth. If you miss one day of exercise, it's not going to make you completely out of shape. You understand? It's good. And on the other side is, if you do eat that double cheeseburger, you know, one time, it's not going to hurt you. That's not going to hurt you. And in parents, if you ignore your kids one time, it's probably not going to hurt them either. Now, if we do these things on a consistent basis, though, what we're going to find that we're going to cause some problems. I mean, for example, if you miss all your meals, you're going to starve to death. If you miss all your exercise, you're going to get really out of shape. If you continue to eat that double cheeseburger will go with you everywhere you go after that. And if you continue to ignore your kids, you're going to reap the ignoring of your kids. That's what's going to happen to you. We all know those kinds of things. Those are the things that we need to know. But we know this as well, is that while we can miss something one time and it's okay, we do understand that we can miss something that is very important that can only happen one time or only happen a few times. And when we miss it, we missed it. We can't go back and say, well, if I'd known it was going to be such a big deal, I would have been there. I've heard so many people say that about church sometimes. Well, if I knew it was going to be a good service, I would have been there. If I knew you were going to preach a good sermon, I said, I don't know if I'm preaching a good sermon or not. You know, I would have been there. So what we have in front of us is always this moment in which we need to make the decisions that we need to make right at this moment. And we just simply can't say, well, you know what? I think it's not going to be that good this time. It might be and it might not. We don't know that. And so I will say this to you, that this message that I'm going to give to you is not going to be telling you what to do. Do you hear what I'm saying to you? This message that I'm going to give to you today, as I'm hoping that you're going to pray and you're going to hope that the Holy Spirit speaks to you. And I don't know what the Holy Spirit would say to you today. I'm just going to tell you my message that I've got right here, and it could be that the Spirit tells you to do something that has nothing to do with what I say today. But I do know this. If the Spirit tells you to do something and you don't do it, you missed it. You missed that opportunity. And it will pass you by. And what we tell ourselves so many times, well, I can do that tomorrow. There are a lot of things that you cannot do tomorrow. You better do them as you have been told them by the Spirit today. Because I cannot promise you that tomorrow you will have the same opportunity. And I'm using a scripture here that should illustrate that. Luke chapter 19, verse 41. And when he drew near and saw the city, he wept over it, saying, Would that you, even you, had known on this day the things that would that make for peace. But now they are hidden from your eyes. For the days will come upon you when your enemies will set up a barricade around you and surround you and hem you in on every side and tear you down to the ground, you and your children with you. And they will not leave one stone upon another in you, because you did not know the time of your visitation. Now, what is this time of visitation? The time of your visitation is when Jesus calls you to himself. That's what it is. It's when he calls you to himself. Now you say, well, that came at salvation. That ship is already, you know, it sailed. I don't really have to worry about that. The time of your visitation doesn't come one time, folks. And I'm not talking about salvation. You're not saved again and again and again. What I'm trying to say to you is that Jesus calls to us again and again and again. And when we miss it, we miss it. We absolutely miss it. And we come and he comes to us rather. We respond. For the time of your visitation is not a one-time event. So we can see that Jesus walked amongst the people in Jerusalem many times. And I'm sure that he preached there many times and called out to them and taught there many times. And many of these people and the Jerusalem would have heard him, but they never did anything about it. They had been given the grace of hearing, and they heard, and they heard, and they heard, and they did nothing about it, and nothing about it, and nothing about it until they couldn't hear anymore. This is what happened to these people, and they hardened their hearts. You know, in Mark chapter 6, it tells the story of Jesus feeding the 5,000. You remember that story because you can remember that he had 12 large basketfuls of bread that was left over. Afterwards, Jesus tells the disciples, go get in the boat and row across. It really, we always say sail across there, but he actually had more rowed than anything else. Go across the Sea of Galilee, the Sea of Galilee. And so they're out there rowing, and it's between 3 a.m. and 6 a.m., and the wind is against them. And just at that time, Jesus comes walking out on the water, and they get really scared. And he tells them, calm down, it's just me. You know, here I am, and he gets on the boat with them, and they were astounded, it says. And then it says in Mark chapter 6, verse 52, for they did not understand about the loaves, but their hearts were hardened. They didn't know who they had with them. Who did they think could make more bread? Who did they think could make more fish? How did they not understand that? How could they see that miracle and think, well, but he can do that, but he can't walk on water? I mean, why would they think that if he is God, and if they had understood that, that thing that happened with the loaves, they would have understood that he could have walked on water. But they didn't, because they had heard him, and they'd heard him, and they heard him, and he got so familiar, they couldn't hear him anymore. The hearts become hardened when we do not do what the Lord tells us to do. There are consequences now and later for missing your time of visitation. Jesus said that Jerusalem would be destroyed. They could have had peace, but now they would have destruction. In 70 AD, which is many years after this, the Jews would rebel against the Roman rule that was there. And because of that, the Romans would send in their soldiers from Rome or wherever they came from. And they would come and they would go to take Israel back. And they set Jerusalem on fire. When they set it on fire, you understand that it was made out of limestone. Most of the temple and everything else were made out of limestone. And because limestone, when it gets heated up, it has water trapped into the rock itself. And when it gets heated up, that water expands just like any other gas will when it gets heated up, especially a high temperature. And the limestone will explode. That's why you don't take a fire pit and make it out of limestone, folks, because it will explode. This is what will happen. And so the rocks would literally have been torn down from each other because they would have exploded, and it just would have knocked them over because of this. But that's not the greatest destruction. The greatest destruction is, yes, the loss of life, but it's the loss of the eternity of those people that are there when Jesus is saying that it is now and it is later that there would be destruction. For there is an eternity in each decision to follow Jesus. There's an eternity in this. And I know that a lot of people say, well, I got saved and that's all that really counts up at this point. But do you realize that Jesus calls out to us to do certain things, to act in certain ways, to have a response and to our neighbors and to our friends and to our families. And we keep saying, I'll do that later, I'll do that later, I'll do that later. And we find out we haven't done what Jesus said. And what happens to us when we do that? Well, there is a now that is a damaging, but there's a later that comes along. 2 Corinthians 5:10 says, "For we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, so that each one may receive what is due for what he has done in the body, whether good or evil." Do you see what that's saying? That's not talking about salvation. You still got your salvation. You're going to stand before the judgment seat of Christ. That's not the great white throne. The great white throne is the one where the people that never trusted in Jesus, they stand at this one. This one we're talking about here is talking about saved people. They're going to stand before the Lord and he's going to say, you know, let's look at what you have done in the body. While you were in the body, let's look at, and you're going to receive your reward or you're not going to receive your reward. It says in 2 Corinthians chapter 3 verse 15, it says, if anyone's work is burned up, meaning that it didn't amount to anything, It says, he will suffer loss, though he himself will be saved, but only as through fire. A friend of mine says, you know, there's going to be a lot of people that get to heaven with the smell of smoke on them. They're actually going to get there, but they're not going to have anything to show for it. They're not going to have anything that they can say, because everything that they have done has never been what Jesus told them to do, and it's going to be burned up. For what is worth a lot to this world will mean nothing in heaven. This world says that physical pleasure is very meaningful. It says that possessions, meaning that you get that big house, you get that big car, or the big SUV or whatever it might be, or that fancy car, you get that stuff, you get that latest electronic stuff, you get that stuff, and you have these possessions, and you have a big bank account, and that means a lot in this world. Or how about when you have people that recognize you, and they call you by name, and you are a very big shot everywhere you go. You're powerful. And that's going to mean a lot to you. Let me tell you what, when you get to heaven, none of that's going to make any difference whatsoever. Not a bit of it's going to make any difference. Luke chapter 12 verse 22 says, "So is the one who lays up treasure for himself and is not rich toward God." That's what's going to happen. You'll get there, you'll get to heaven, but you have the smell of smoke on you. You're just not going to have anything to show for it. The consequences of missing your time of visitation will hurt the bad and the good. Bad people may get hurt. You say, well, that's okay. Well, even good people will get hurt. There was a siege on Jerusalem that lasted 5 months. Starvation was taking the city before the Romans even breached the walls. Even children were being used as a source of food. Letting you know what happened there. Josephus, the historian during the time of Jerusalem's destruction, recorded, "Most of the victims were peaceful citizens, weak and unarmed, butchered wherever they were caught." Oh yeah, the bad, they were hurt. But the good were hurt too. See, good people are hurt when you miss your time of visitation. See, I don't know that we mind that so much. We don't mind hurting others as long as we don't see them. You're going to hurt somebody. If I don't see them, that'll be okay. See, families are hurt when we miss our time of visitation. I'm going to give you this true statistics on this. I've given you others before, but I think I've gotten through the weeds and figured it out exactly what is really, really the truth. If you have a child that comes to know the Lord, and that's the first person in the family to come to know the Lord, there is a 25% chance that the rest of the family will follow and come to know the Lord. If the mother in the family comes to know the Lord, you know, she's the first one, then there's a 40 to 50% chance that the rest of the family will come to know the Lord. But if the father is the one who is the first one to come to know the Lord, there is a 60% chance that the entire family will come to know the Lord. And men, I want to tell you something. I don't care if you're at home and maybe you get the opportunity to watch this and you're not here right now, because I think the men here are doing what they should do. But if you're at home right now, let me explain something to you. Is that you cannot be content to sit at home and send your family to church. You cannot be that kind of a person and still call yourself the spiritual leader in your family. And you would be appalled if you would had your family starving to death, and yet you would let them starve to death from spiritual instruction that you're not giving them. So you will have a profound negative effect on your family if you do not respond to your time of visitation. And let me say this. You can say, well, the bad gets hurt. Yes, but the good gets hurt too. Your family will get hurt because of this. And you cannot be the disciple that you would want them to be if you're going to sit at home and you're not going to do what you're supposed to do. And so you want to be a provider? You need to be a provider of it all. Not just of financial, but of also the things that are spiritual for your families. You've got to do that. So, and let me go beyond that. Let's go beyond that. Let's talk about our neighbors. Maybe we've got a call to our neighbors. Do you realize you weren't set in that neighborhood just so that you could sit in that house and not have an influence on your neighbors? When we have our time of visitation, the Lord calls to us. He's calling to us to make a difference in our neighborhood. And what's the reason that we're hunkered down in our homes and not getting to know anybody that is out there? Well, I read Psychology Today. And Psychology Today says that we are 70% more narcissistic and less empathetic than we were 30 years ago. 70% more than 30 years ago. And they said that the reason is that we're huddling down in our homes and we're not getting out and we're not getting to know our neighbors. And the reason is because we simply don't care. And this is from Psychology Today. This is not from the Bible. Here's what they said. A world full of narcissists would be a sad world indeed. We humans are by nature social animals. We absolutely depend upon one another's goodwill and care. Narcissism is bad, not just for society as a whole, but also for the individual narcissist. People high on this trait are often unhappy, angry at the world because of the world's failure to recognize their superiority. They are generally incapable of forming the kinds of deep, meaningful, lasting relationships with others that we all need in order to have happy, emotional, secure lives. This is a problem, isn't it? And it says, oh, we're 70% to be less empathetic too. Empathy is identifying with the lives of others. It means that you know what they feel. You experience it. Remember a couple of weeks ago when I said we rejoice with the people when they rejoice? When they rejoice, we rejoice. And we weep with the ones that weep. This is coming from Psychology Today. And I just preached on that from the Bible a couple of weeks ago. Psychology Today said those who score low in empathy are more likely than the average person to engage in bullying and less likely to volunteer to help people in need. When you have your time of visitation and you realize that you were called even to your neighborhood, I will give you a little bit of a plan there. It's not a great plan. One is that simply go over and introduce yourself. Try that for a change. My neighbors thought I was really weird when I did that. And so I tried to involve them. I make pies. So I went over there and I made a I made a pecan pie and I gave it to each of my neighbors. And then when Thanksgiving came around, I made a pumpkin pie and I gave it around to each one of my neighbors. And I worked on engaging, and I wave at them. I called them by their names all of the time. And by the way, they're starting to give me stuff now. Isn't that great? You know, Kevin Garner and I were trying to get a refrigerator out of my house. He's also one of my neighbors, and he got a pie. Don't get it. Anyway, but he was trying to get a refrigerator out of my house, and neighbors walking by, a guy named Tony. And I mean, of course, when we dropped it off the top of that deal, and the refrigerator went boom, you probably heard it, Oceana. But one of the neighbors was going by, and Tony, which I don't know that well, and he said, "Do you need any help?" I said, "Of course not." Don't it look like we know what we're doing? And we didn't. But anyway, so he came over and he helped us. You see, it should be that way. It used to be that way. It's just not that way anymore. And we need to realize we're not planted in that neighborhood just because we just happened to find a place there. God put us there. There's got to be a reason for it. But so we need to get to know them. For we will miss our visitation if we don't get to know who will be hurt if we don't do it. We've got to get to know them. Crisis Pregnancy Center does an ultrasound on the pregnant woman in her first trimester. Planned Parenthood says, don't do that in the first trimester. It's unnecessary. Let me tell you why it's necessary. When they do that ultrasound on that little baby in the first trimester, they see that heartbeat and they see that little child there. And that mother goes from, "I'm going to get rid of something," to realize she has a child that is with her right then. And she will not get rid of someone that she knows. And she is much more likely to give that child life rather than death after that. You see, once you get to know them, it's a totally different story. So when is your time of visitation? The time of your visitation is right now. It's always right now. And let me say this. I don't know what the Lord would tell you to do. I'm just trying to tell you to do whatever He tells you to do. Because there will come a time when you will not be able to respond. Jesus said about Jerusalem, He said that it's been hidden from their eyes. Jesus didn't hide it from their eyes. It's like cataracts. I've got cataracts now. I know a little bit about cataracts. I've read everything and I think Google can give me on cataracts now that I've got cataracts. What has happened is that because I was out in the sun so much, it clouded up the lens that I have in my eye. And therefore, because it's clouded up the lens in my eye, what is happening is it won't let the light in anymore. In other words, I've looked at the light so much that I can't see the light anymore. Does that make any sense to you? Because when you look at what happened here, is that the light of Jesus was calling these people over and over and over and over and over again until finally they couldn't see it anymore. It was hidden from their eyes. Don't let it become hidden from your eyes. And have you reached the point where you can't respond anymore? I mean, you do realize that will happen. You will get to a spot where you do not respond anymore. And you cannot respond anymore. Well, I can't tell you if you have or haven't. But I can tell you this. But if you can respond, that time hasn't come yet. If you can respond, that time hasn't come yet. So how will you know whether it's come or not? Let's see if you can respond. I don't know what the Lord has told you to do. I'm just praying that you could hear Him. And if you heard Him, you better do it. For the time of your visitation is right now.